Welcome back. In this episode, I interview Anomaly. That's his moniker, which is befitting because Anomaly is an anomaly. He's just 30 years old, but has the success, courage, and wisdom of someone much older. Part of his anomaly is that he is a self-made hip-hop artist and a news analyst. He's built one of Facebook's largest groups and has over 500 million video views without a manager, label, or significant news publication. I hadn't heard of Anomaly before he's recommended to me to be on a guest on this podcast as he fit for Wealthy Wealthy's objective to bust myths and do our part to bring alternative points of view outside of the status quo. I was so impressed with this young man. We talked about sovereignty and freedom and how, from his vantage point, these inherent rights are silently being stripped away. We discuss censorship and the dangers of conceding to this. We talk about how to find your truth and not simply taking on the truth of the mass media. And we discuss business and how he organically grew his Facebook audience to several million followers, not to mention his YouTube and Twitter followings. No matter what side you hang your hat on, I believe you'll find many truths and nuggets in this interview. This is a must not miss. Please enjoy my conversation with Anomaly.
Anomaly, what a pleasure. Thank you for being on the Wealthy Wealthy podcast.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
All right. Well, you're a new name and a new face to me, but I was introduced to you just because of the work and the work that you do. And I became just really started taking in and listening and watching your videos and listening to your music. I'm like, who is this guy? You're extraordinary. So where I'd love to start is, what's your backstory? I don't really know who you are. I'm guessing a lot of my listeners don't know who you are. So who's Anomaly backstory and what brought you to what you're doing right today?
So I started with the internet and just, I guess, my career and such. I started in 2008 when I was a teenager, just doing rap videos. I loved hip hop. I wanted to make music and freestyle and just like rap in the car. And I put it on YouTube and had like a million views within a year and 100,000 downloads. I had no microphone, just a laptop. So I was always hustling, trying to get my music out to the masses. And I knew that social media was the platform. It was the new way to really reach the masses. And I had a good eye for that. And I kind of knew nobody really cared about me. I had no record label connection. So I saw that as an opportunity. So doing that, I ended up dropping out of college and moving to Los Angeles. And the only thing I really had was the ability to work the internet. So I started working in social media, and that was really my interest, was hip hop music and just social media marketing. And then 2016, I was never really political. I thought, you know, both sides were kind of lying. The whole thing was kind of a scam and the news was very negative. And I kind of zoomed in on what was happening because it was such a big election. And I really started to learn how they were lying, not just that they were lying and that I wanted to stay out. And I got really upset at how calculated everything was and how these websites that I'd used since 2008, YouTube used to be more free. You could search for things and find me, and they started closing it down. They started closing it down on certain political candidates. They started closing it down on certain health and wellness people. They started closing it down on almost everybody that wasn't one of the big corporations. So that's why I started doing what people would consider, you know, politics or news analysis, is because I just got so fed up with how they were really closing the door on anybody that wasn't one of the big corporations. And one of the worst things about what they do is they spread fear. You know, not only is it biased, but it's so negative, it's so fearful. And whether you're into wellness, health, finances, like that's a negative mindset, and a fearful mindset is the quickest way to never be successful and to be unhappy. So I just kind of did that, and it ended up taking on a life of its own. So I'm not really a big politics fan, but I was like, I have to kind of step into the arena, and it's taken a life of its own. So that's where I'm at now. I make news analysis videos, and then I do hip hop as well.
So all this came out of you publishing your work, your music online. And then, so was it that you're getting a lot of traction, a lot of followers, a big audience, and all of a sudden you're getting on YouTube, and I'm guessing you posted that on YouTube. So just from your music alone, you start to see this shrink in the audience size, and that caused you to start questioning things from just the music piece?
I always question with the music. Like, I was always kind of trying to deep dive and talk about stuff, but it wasn't so much that they were destroying my audience per se, I guess, at that time. It was more just I started paying attention to the election, and I just got really interested in it because I saw the candidates I liked and people that, you know, for instance, when it was Bernie Sanders versus Hillary Clinton, I had taken an interest to Bernie Sanders. I knew nothing about politics, but I just thought like, maybe he's different. Maybe he's like outside the game. And I saw that Google and these big websites, like they really, it was all for Hillary. So it was like the lengths they were going to just cheat him. It's one thing to not like him or agree with him, but I saw how they really rigged everything against him. And then after, you know, Trump won the presidency, it started happening with that too. And not just with politics, like I said, with health and wellness, anybody that talks about things like, I think vitamin D or something, the CEO of YouTube was like, you know, we got to crack down on that. I'm like, that's kind of crazy. I'm not saying it's the be all cure for like every disease, but this idea that, you know, vitamins are not a way to make yourself healthier. I don't know what type of science that is. So yeah, it was more just, following the election and just seeing how rigged it was, really.
Interesting. And so when you talk about the they and big corporations, who's the they that when they're doing censorship or, you know, the what you're talking about, who are you referring to as the they?
I guess, you know, there's, I don't know how many, 5 or 6 corporations that control most news media. And when it comes to social media, now you have Google owns YouTube, and YouTube and Google's the biggest search engine in the world. YouTube is the biggest video platform. You have Facebook, which is the biggest social media in the world, who owns Instagram, which is one of the biggest. So there's only a few of these tech companies, Twitter, Google, Facebook, who own almost all of the internet landscape. And they're all, it seems like, coordinating together to do the exact same thing. For instance, regardless, I don't know what your listeners think of, but someone like Alex Jones, who was one of the first people who got deleted off of social media, he got deleted off everything within 24 hours. So it's Apple, Google, Spotify. They had to have met somewhere and said, we're going to take him down today. So they're coordinating on almost everything they're doing. And I started noticing when I was following the election, you had the New York Times, the Washington Post, MSNBC. You had so many of these news articles saying the same thing constantly. And it's really bizarre because we were talking about earlier with Sturgis. I was just there in South Dakota. When I searched for Sturgis, there were 20 articles that came up, and they all said the same exact thing, the same exact headline. It said 250,000 people expected among virus concerns. They didn't all think of the same thing. They're mass publishing that. So I started to realize that, you know, on social media, these few corporations control everything, and they're working with a few of the media corporations where they say, these are the trusted news. If you disagree with the World Health Organization or what, you know, CNN thinks, then you're problematic. So now they've just swallowed really the whole landscape of everything, where if you're a doctor and you disagree with them, especially holistic doctors, or you're just totally eradicated. And it's become such a problem where I don't know how much longer they're even going to allow certain types of thought.
Yeah. I mean, we see it everywhere. So that just creates an opening for censorship. So I know you've been censored. Would you share a little bit about some of your own Facebook data, like where you started, where it is now, and the dangers of censorship? I know people have a different, you know, have a point of view. Like some people, like myself, I'm all about freedom, sovereignty, free speech, and we all have a voice, and we're all accountable to our own beliefs and doing our research, and, you know, just, but treat me like a grown adult that has some intellect and ability to think for herself. I'd like that, right? So that's my own point of view. And then, not that mine's right or wrong or better or worse than anybody else's, but there's another one, another point of view that says, no, it's really great that these tech companies are censoring, because it's censoring out bad information. So that keeps people from the dangers of maybe finding bad information that they can't otherwise protect themselves from. So it's almost like there's two camps. But what is your point of view? One, I'd love for you to share not just the data, how you've been censored, but then two, like really how financially and how that's affected you personally as a young man who's doing good work and paying taxes and wanting to do the right thing and get to truth. And you're all about love and peace and prosperity. And, you know, so what are the dangers of this type of censorship from your point of view?
Yeah, so with my page on Facebook, I think I'm almost at 2 million people and like 600 million views. So it's been very big. And I started seeing censorship over this shutdown. They've used this pandemic really as a way to usher in more censorship under the guise of, you know, health. And I understand, like you said, like if someone says, like, you know, eat a fork or something, it's like you don't want people to think you should eat a fork. But the fine line has been blurred where there are people who are just saying crazy stuff. And I'm not a fan of it either. I'm someone who takes, anytime I talk about something complicated, I try to show proof and be as fair as possible. I understand there's people who do what I do who really don't. They just lie and they'll make up any theory that they believe without any proof or evidence. So the first thing I saw that was censored was I had a video got 10 million views that said, can viruses be man-made or man-manipulated? And I didn't say that this one was. I was really fair about it, but I showed the proof of that they can be man-manipulated. They have been man-manipulated. There's research in Wuhan labs of manipulating coronaviruses. That's a fact. Bill Gates actually mentioned years ago that the next pandemic could be from a man-manipulated, you know, act of war in a virus. These are all things that all the top people in the medical industry already know they can be. There's patents on certain, SARS viruses. And I'm not saying this one was, but I just wanted to kind of educate people where I'm like, this is a real thing. There's a whole, you know, germ war going on. And also just you can patent a virus if it's man-made. So there's also, it's the same with GMO stuff. I don't know that you can patent a fruit or a vegetable, but if it's genetically modified, I believe you can patent that. So it's not just the altering of the health that they're incentivized, it's the finances of I can own an entire strand of something. So these are games being played in germs too. And they put a fact check article on that. The fact check was wrong because I actually checked my facts. Then I did something about how Florida, the per capita death was 5 times better than New York, although the media was saying it wasn't, which is also true, or at least was at the time. And they said, so they started fact checking me. And then recently the craziest thing they did was they took away my live stream capabilities for 30 days. And the reason was I posted a Muslim imam in 2018. So they backtracked 2 years to find a post that I made. And he was basically talking about a guy who got released out of prison, who was very controversial. His name was Tommy Robinson. And the point of the post was the Muslim imam said, I don't agree with him. We have different religions. We have different races. But I respect the fact that he's willing to sit down with me and have dialogue, even though he doesn't believe in what I stand for. I thought it was a beautiful message. I still do. It's what my whole page is about. And they deemed that a 30-day ban. I don't even know how that's legal. So they're using these things. They're using these real things to basically say you're not allowed to say that. And with you saw recently with the hydroxychloroquine stuff. I'm not a medical doctor. I don't know if it does or doesn't work, but I could tell the media does not want anybody to say that. Despite there's studies in France. There's individual doctors who prescribe certain things. I want to hear the doctor who believes in it, and then I want to hear the one who doesn't believe in it. But they've decided, the bureaucrats, that this is what we're doing. Anybody who suggests otherwise, regardless of how much data you have or facts or evidence, you're being destroyed. So it's a very creepy environment, because I understand, because I politically don't line up with them, and because I, you know, question their, you know, social agendas in certain senses, that it's like a punishable offense to even disagree with them. So it's a very fine line, but I think they've definitely overstepped that boundary. I just think a lot of people, you know, aren't understanding that.
And what's your belief as to the reasons why?
I think, I really think that it's a mixture of maybe political correctness gone astray at these companies. Political correctness is at a point where you can't combat it. You know, you're racist, you're sexist, they have a word for everything if you question certain people. And I think a lot of these companies are getting overrun in some ways by mistake. So for example, I know Huffington Post and BuzzFeed, they'll hire people and then say, you know, they're not making money. They end up having to lay people off. A lot of those people will sue, you know, and saying they did it for certain reasons. And I think that it's an environment where you almost just like can't speak out. I know so many friends that work at corporations, work at media companies. I have friends that they check every box of the, you know, the social justice movement, gay, black, dancer. But if they disagree politically, they're called all these crazy names. They're almost like with their back up against the wall, where it's like, agree with everything I say politically, agree with my candidates, agree with all of my activism, or else I'm going to say you're a horrible person and destroy your life. So I think in some ways they're getting overrun by that. But in a more nefarious way, I really think that a lot of these people believe in control. If you look at certain countries like China, they have a system where they have facial video surveillance, and you can't get on certain trains if you don't meet the social score. So it's much more of a we decide what's better for all of our people. And if you don't make the cut, you're cut out. Where America was never like that. We had the freedom of speech, the Second Amendment. So that was never what our Constitution was about or what our country was about. It's the opposite of libertarianism and being to yourself. And I think these corporations, combined with the politicians, they want that type of control. They want the control to say that you can't fly. And that's what you're seeing now. You can't fly if you don't listen to us. You can't do this if you don't listen to us. And it's not just like a crime that you committed. It's as simple as like, you know, not wanting to wear a glass barrier on your face now or breathe out your nose. It's becoming a fine line of like how much of this is for public health and how much of this is a power grab. So I think there's a combination of like political correctness overrun. And I do think there's certain people and certain, you know, power grabs that are being had. And one that people kind of don't realize is they're destroying millions of small businesses. They're hurting mom and pop shops and restaurants. Jeff Bezos, Warren Buffett, Zuckerberg, they're just tripling, doubling, you know, their normal profits. They're swallowing up the entire industries. Like they have no financial incentive to stop doing this. And Bezos actually owns the Washington Post. So I'm not saying it is what it is, but it's like, you know, he has unlimited ways to just be like, no, let's keep this going. And I'm not saying he's like the only one, but there's certain people that are doing very well off this. And then there's others who aren't.
Yeah. And it, to me, it just, you see that there is no, it appears to be little to no concern for small businesses going out of business. And that's really been the fabric of this country, of the prosperity and the opportunity is the small guy that's actually to make a good living and have a business and feed their family and just, you know, live a good life. And it just, for me, I just see these what I've certainly taken for granted, but these liberties and freedoms just being stripped away and imposed, like what I'm supposed to do even inside my house now, you know what I mean? And I just wonder, like, how are people okay with this? I mean, that's where it's a head scratcher for me, Anomaly, is like, who's okay with some government coming in the house and saying, you need to do this inside your own home and, you know, out when you're not even near anybody else? And do you have any thoughts to that?
I think the media and a lot of their schemes, they're very good at, you know, what some people would call mind control or brainwashing, where if you watch any of their programs, whether it's left wing or right wing, even if you agree with it politically, it's so much fear. And there is a real health consequence to fear. There's you know, it lowers your immune system. You can get ulcers. This is all real science. And they scare you. And then they send you the commercials. It's all pills. It's all alcohol. It's all unhealthy food. So how do they really care about you when they're constantly scaring you, even when there's not a pandemic? Scare, scare, fear, fear, fear. You know, get mad at the other side, get mad at the other country, and then take our products. And then you find out, you know, coronavirus is not a good thing. However, obesity and a bad diet leads to 11 million. They report 11 million deaths worldwide. That's more than coronavirus is going to kill this year and probably next year combined. And there's also studies that are saying 75% of people are overeating. I know just in my personal circle, people have lost jobs. They can't go to the gym. I can't go to the gym. Gyms save lives. That's how you get fit. That's how you get healthy. So there's pros and cons to everything, but they say there's only pros. Everything about what's going on is great. And if you dare say that there's any cons, you're this horrible person that needs to be censored. I'm not saying the virus isn't real. I'm not saying there's not science to, you know, social distancing. But if you're going to talk about that, you have to talk about the flip side, the psychological, the mental, the physical damage that you're inflicting on people. There's reports all over the place of the real damage. And economic is no joke. People say, well, you know, it's just the economy. It's like, it's just the economy until your currency collapses. And then if you don't have a stable economy, it's going to lead to stuff. Real quick, I want to say I moved from Los Angeles. And in Los Angeles, on average, 3 homeless people die every single day. And this was before the pandemic. So you're talking about a crisis of just dozens of homeless people getting killed, killing themselves with drugs or just lack of hygiene every single week. And now you have a city that's totally failing. Like they won't allow anything to open. They only allow protests and riots. Businesses have been destroyed. They're still boarded up because they don't even know if they can run anymore. The governor's shutting off water and power. This is crazy. But I guess, you know, people have been kind of conditioned to be like, if you hate the president and you hate, they have like an angle for everything where it's like, regardless if you like the president or dislike the president, just use your brain. Like, you got to detach from these people because they use your hate and your fear to totally manipulate you. And I've seen people on the left and the right totally buy fully into this where I'm like, I get the downsides and I understand why you're concerned for your health, but you have to look around at what's going on, because at a certain point, there is no end date to this, because how they're counting deaths, how they're counting cases, how they're logically justifying this stuff, a lot of it is just very reminiscent of a power grab. And if people think it's not deadly to give up all your rights to government, look at the death toll of, you know, corrupt governments, whether it be in China, Germany, Russia. I mean, the death toll is near 100 million when you give up your rights. These are stories we read throughout all history. All we do is learn about these tragedies. And then if you suggest that it could repeat itself, they call you a conspiracy theorist. It's like, there's no part of history that this hasn't happened. And that's what made our country thrive for almost 300 years, was the fact that we had the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, the freedom, and they're taking all of those away at once. It's very creepy. And I think a lot of people are very conditioned and very lucky to live in such a nice era where they've never had to really think this way until now. So I think it's a lot of those things at once.
Yeah, well, thank you for that explanation. And you mentioned that, so I know you've read some books and done some research on Marxism and communism. And how do you see that at play? Like, what are some of those principles that maybe someone like myself isn't even aware of? I mean, I'm all about sovereignty and freedom, like we've talked about. And I just never in a million years would have believed that my freedoms would be stripped away like this. So what is it from, like, what is some of the propaganda, this maybe this being fed into, this based on some of these communist or Marxist principles, and what's the danger of those?
A book that I got recently, I heard it in an old interview. It's called Color, Communism, and Common Sense by Manning Johnson. He was a Black member of the Communist Party in the 1900s. And, you know, he kind of defected and realized what they were doing. And it's very reminiscent of what's happening in our country now. He said that they're using, you know, racial tension and exploiting emotions to really lead people towards communism. And a lot of the kids and a lot of people nowadays, you know, they believe in socialism and communism because our system is very corrupt. We have like a crony capitalist system, you know, and I understand why people want to reject the current system that we have. I understand our healthcare is kind of a scam. So I get people's idea. But I think what a lot of people don't realize about socialism and communism, for instance, this is coming from somebody at a time really believed in what Bernie was saying until I thought about it and researched more. But say universal health care, where everybody gets health insurance. That sounds fantastic. But what it also does is take away private insurance, takes away your ability to opt out and go to the holistic doctor. There's now pop-up shops where you can pay monthly. There's new innovation in the doctor realm. It makes it so it's only government health. Everyone has the same government health care. It's total government control over health. And that's what you're seeing now. Even with the Trump presidency, he's rejecting socialism. It's still kind of swallowed up his presidency. The medical industry is running the show right now, and he seems almost powerless. And then if you talk about free education, of course, I think everyone should get education, but it's government education. So there's private schools, there's voucher schools, and they want to eliminate those. The Los Angeles Teachers Union is like trying to hold the kids for hostage, and their demands have nothing to do with the virus. They want to abolish the police force. They want to do all these things. Their socialist communist ideology, and in their world, they want to share. And I think everybody should have everything. I agree with what they think they're doing, but in reality, they eliminate all competition. So this goes hand in hand. A lot of the younger kids think that the older, you know, Democrats are scared of their socialism and they're the real deal. But I think it's not really a threat to the big system, because what it is government control. So a lot of kids are into that. And I try to be compassionate. Why? Because if you just say socialism sucks, they're not going to listen, because there's a lot of downfalls to our system as well. And there's a lot of downfalls to the crony capitalist system in America. But really, it's like the more that these people get control, the less you have. And it always ends the same way. There's a reason it never works, because there's never a time when they just spread it out to all the working people. I would love if that were true, but it gets in the hands of some psycho. Nobody has the ability to defend themselves. Nobody has the ability to speak freely. And we're seeing all that stuff happen now. And you know, it is cyclical, and it is it's the same story on loop. But you know, everybody interprets things different, and I know there's a lot of people who are really wishing for that to happen. But I think personally, I think it's a mistake.
Yeah, amen. Why do you think, why now? I mean, I don't know. I know we spoke about this offline, but for anybody listening, I mean, I'm just apolitical. I'm not Democrat. I'm not Republican. I'm just kind of a libertarian point of view of sovereignty, truth and sovereignty, but really about truth and, you know, personal beliefs. We're all human. I don't own you. You don't own me. Just, again, those sovereign principles. And, you know, really up until recently, I was oblivious to things. I was just kind of happy, small business owner, have done well in this country, taken advantage of great opportunity and started with nothing and was able to build something. I attribute so much of that to our system and to the liberties we've had. So I've just always been so grateful to even be an American or be in this country. And I just felt like, oh, we're so lucky to be in this country because we do have these opportunities available. If someone like me that started a trailer home has been able through hard work and in educating myself and doing that, create what I've created. I mean, I'm so lucky for that privilege. But again, just completely oblivious to, I think, a lot of what was going on and staying out of politics because it's nasty and ugly and I just haven't liked it on either side, really. So it's just been recently out of all this where this, I'm like, oh my God, what's happening? And how did this happen so fast? And everything I've worked my whole life for and raising my children for, it's like, it's just slowly but surely kind of being stripped away that I can't walk out my front door without a mask, like really without getting screamed at. And I'm just like, how are we here? How did this happen? So what do you say to that? Like, where did all this come from and how did it happen so fast? Or has it been happening and I've just been clueless?
No, I hear you. And you said you're like a libertarian, similar to me, where libertarians believe usually like less government, less taxes. Like a lot of people want taxes raised and it goes to these social programs. But when you tax people, it goes to the government. In California, they spend $1 billion on homeless. They do nothing. So it's like they take money from the working class. They take money from the small business owner and they constantly just waste it. And I think the reason that they do that is because if you run a business or I run a business, if I mess up to that big of a scale, I don't have a business next year. It's not possible. If they mess up, they get your money next year. It's like a cycle of they're being funded off your money. But both parties have kind of been big government where, you know, whether it be from Bill Clinton to George Bush to Obama to Trump, even people who claim to be, you know, more right wing, which would probably be more libertarian in theory, they're really not. You know, Bush passed the Patriot Act and we lost more freedom. Obama did his healthcare thing. It sounded good, but we, you know, slightly lost more freedom. And then even with Trump, he seems like he's trying to fight against it. But in many ways, he either doesn't or can't, or, you know, it's like the government just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And I think that's what happened. No matter if it was a right wing or left wing president, it's just grown to the point where I kind of saw this happening last year with the medical industry. And, I saw what they were doing in California and New York. They were trying to force people to get vaccines. Basically, if your kid doesn't get a vaccine, they can't go to school. There were a lot of Jewish people in New York who were trying to oppose it on religious terms, and they were fighting in court. The state was trying to say, no, we don't care what your religion is, you know, Christian, Muslim, Jew. You have to get the vaccine or your kids can't go to school. And I saw this was the beginning of like medical tyranny. Once they come for the kids, they're coming for you next. And I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I understand the science behind it, but I've seen the schedule go from a few and it's getting bloated, bloated, bloated. And now with you know, this administration, you have Operation Warp Speed, which is what they're calling. They're rushing a vaccine through trials. There's really no way around it. Even if you're the most pro-vaccine person ever, there's never been a vaccine, you know, approved this fast. And there's a reason they test them. They test them because sometimes they don't work. There was a Lyme disease vaccine they took off the market. The flu vaccine has been around for 80 years. You can't just rush an injection, but they're not only rushing it, but now they're trying to pair it with, you know, a mandatory sort of thing. So I think the medical industry just got bigger and bigger and bigger. The government got bigger and bigger. And I think a lot of people just didn't realize it. And I kind of did, but I thought we had more time. And even with Trump, he seems like he's trying to slash a lot of it, but every which way he tries to do one or two things, they do 10 or 20 things. They have so many ways to get around it. So many, you know, you didn't vote for, say, Dr. Fauci. He's been there since the Reagan administration. You don't vote for the CIA, the FBI. There's so many bureaucratic systems that people don't vote for. They don't change, and they've been there, and they're going to stay there and exert power over the country. So I think it's all this leading up. But I personally do think, not to sound too crazy, but, you know, you have technology, you have all these new, you know, artificial intelligence getting rolled out. And it seems like right now, you know, they're replacing people with virtual fans. Like, it almost seems like they're conditioning people to live in a virtual world. Like, we already did. I already spent way too much time on my phone, but now they've almost sucked every other aspect out of it. You can't look at people's face. You're FaceTiming with your kids to watch, you know, your teacher on the thing. There's virtual fans. It looks like a video game. They're just sucking humanity out of humanity. They're sucking all the joy, all the human interaction. And I personally don't think it's a coincidence. I think there's people with a lot of power and a lot of money who either just do too much, like a friend who does drugs, you try to stop and they can't stop, or they have a real plan to, you know, control more. Like, America and this idea of libertarianism and even nationalism has been very smeared in the media in Russia and the United States. Regardless of what you think of it, it's really like internal, like, hey, we're going to do us. We're going to do us. That's a threat to somebody who wants to control everything. So I see a concerted effort to try to destroy that, not to make this like world peace. That's what they're kind of fronting it as. But there's certain people that now control everything. If you can control Facebook and Google and make it so I'm not allowed to have free speech in my own country where I'm supposed to have free speech, then they've, and where can you go? If you can't say it on Facebook, I can't gather anywhere. I can't even do a public speech to the people. So they control the flow of all information, and they're dialing down what you can and can't say. It's unfortunate, but I do think that even this election and in general, these next couple of years are going to be massive, because this scheme that they have, it seems like the 15 days to slow the spread turned into 80 days. And I really don't think they have a timeline on it. So I pray that people, you know, figure out a way to combat that. Cause I don't want to live the rest of my life like a, you know, a free range human that only could look at people's eyes. It's no way to live.
Oh, wow. That's quite a visual right there. So what motivates you
now
to get to the truth? Yeah. Like tell me about the day in the life of Anomaly.
Now I'm blessed to, I've worked hard for 10 years, making no money, putting out music. Everything was free. There was no monetization when things first started. So I've always had a lot of drive. I've always had passion and just like really worked hard. And once I started, you know, making money on it and not having to work at other jobs, I try to remember the days that I was, you know, I had to work at a pizzeria or overnight stocking. I've done a lot of hard jobs. I worked on a farm. So, you know, now that I can do my own thing, I try to just go out there and crush. And with the state of the world today, it's hard not to find inspiration in the sense of like everything's really annoying me as far as the shutdown. But, you know, I just try to get out content and put it on Facebook, put it on YouTube, make music. Just stay active, because I'm very fortunate to be able to do what I love for a living, and I don't want to squander this moment. I've worked too hard and worked too many other places. So hopefully Facebook doesn't steal that from me. We'll see.
Yeah, no kidding. What do you see as far as, let me ask it differently. What can we do? Like what do you, like you're doing, you're because it's so much media is out there and people are posting and reposting, 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 believing certain headlines are true and defending what they may believe based on these headlines. But what are you doing? Like, when we say the word truth, I mean, that's what I'm after. I'm just after truth, freedom, living by the consequence of my own decisions, both good and bad, being a good human, out doing good works in the world, making, you know, living, trying to be a great parent, a great friend, and just, like I said, live a good life. But what's some advice maybe of how to, do you have any advice or tips for how to research Witch Underneath to try to get to the truth? I just want the truth, or at least access to different, what people believe to be true. And then I can make my own interpretation of truth.
Well, it sounds like you're doing good and you're a good person. I think that's probably most important, is just in your own day, you know, being a good person is probably a good impact on the world. But in order to decipher stuff, I think, I really think it starts internally, in the sense of like, if you're honest with yourself, I think you'll be able to discern good information. And if you work on yourself, self-accountability, try to become a better person, not make excuses, I think that's how you really get to the truth. Because even in the truther movement, you know, there's a big truther movement on social media. Some of these people are so like emotionally sporadic that they're not really truthers, you know, like they're onto the right path, but they don't have the, you know, discernment to understand what's real and what's not. So I see a lot of these truthers, they'll believe anything. Like I could just say like, there's an alien, you know, in Washington, D.C., and he's fighting the deep state, and they'll literally believe it because it goes against the media. So I think that's a problem on both sides, where people are just too unstable. And I think it starts like internally, where if you're emotional and you hate, a lot of times you become what you hate. If you hate the president so much, you'll believe anything. You're easy to puppet around. It's like, well, Trump said this, so you do this. And they got people doing anything. They don't even know what they believe. I saw yesterday, Trump pardoned Susan B. Anthony. And I saw two different takes from people who hate him. One of them said she was like a racist, horrible person. And then another one said she was a great person, but Trump shouldn't have pardoned her because she wanted to be a criminal. It's like these people are so desperate to hate the president, they'll say or do anything. And then vice versa, people who love the president and who hate his opposition, they get fooled. I saw them get fooled into supporting an anti-free speech bill because they hate so much. You know, they're easy to control. So I think if people stop hating so much and have discernment, it's a lot better to get to the truth. And I think in order to share it with people, a lot of people are very biased. A lot of people are very hateful towards the other side. And that if you say you like socialism and communism, and you just say socialism sucks, which is a big phrase on the right wing, nobody's going to listen to that. I mean, oh, you know what? He said it sucks. I guess I'm wrong. Like that doesn't explain. So it's like, you got to explain why and try to have some sort of compassion. Because even for me, it's like, I was 19. I was in that mindset. I fell for a lot of these traps when I was younger. So I remember how it was, as opposed to just like acting like it's brand new. So I think that's a good way to get it to people. But I really think on a mental level, everything starts internally. And a lot of people in politics are angry, emotional, hateful, and they're just projecting. And it's like, you can't live your life that way. It's like a child fight. I'm 30 years old. Most people in politics are 50, 60, acting like children. It's really pathetic and insane that they act that way. So I think it really does start inside.
I love that. Now let's talk about music a little bit. Where does the music industry fit inside of this? Are you an anomaly when it comes to music and how you publish this? Kind of that, you know, on the outside?
Yeah, it's been a good journey. I started when I was 19. Like I said, I had funny hair. I was younger. Like they had interest in me because I was getting a lot of views. And they never really fully believed in me. They wanted to dress me up, talk about women, talk about drugs. Like they wanted to make me like a stereotypical type person. And I never took the bait. I read my own contracts. I never had a lawyer. I just, every time I said no, I turned everything down. And I had an attitude. I always thought, that's stupid. Like what I liked was real things. Like I was like, I don't like all this fake stuff. I don't think it's going to work. So I stuck to my guns. It took 10 years from when I was 18 to when I'm like almost 30 now. And now I'm getting more streams on my music, more plays, my engagement. I dropped a music video 2 days ago. I think I have like almost 1,000 comments on Instagram. It's more than most signed artists. So I stuck to my guns. I was able to monetize on my own. And now I do so much that I don't need to feel like I need to drop an album. Like I can do it whenever because I'm financially stable. And I just did a big show in Sturgis with thousands of people. It happened just through doing my own thing. And the lead singer of the band Trapped had hit me up and just said, hey, I like your videos. Let's hang out. And then we did a song together. So it's much more natural, completely uncontrolled by the industry. And that's been a blessing. So I've been able to kind of make it and succeed without them. But at the same time, I don't feel the need to have to do anything because I do so many things that it's like, if I want to take 6 months off, no one can say not to.
Right. So tell me a little bit, the word, you know, the spoken word's a kind of a new word for me. So what is spoken word and how does that fit into your type of music?
I guess before even the political video started taking off, I did a few spoken word poems that did pretty well on Facebook and stuff. So it's just like poetry without the rapping, I guess, more like, yeah, more poetic, like they do it like slam poetry stuff. So I did a little bit of that. I just kind of go through how I'm feeling and if it makes sense, but I haven't done it in a minute, but I still like it.
Oh, I love it. All right. Well, we're bumping up against our time together. My gosh, that went by so fast. Thank you. So a few questions to wrap up. Tell me something. I'd love just a little bit of a get to know you a little bit more. So if you said, Christina, if you really, really knew me, you would know that. Like, what's something that people don't really know about you?
Wow. That's a deep question. I guess maybe that I like sports. I like the beach. Like a lot of times I'm pretty tall. I'm 6'3". I sit down when I do my thing. So when people see me, they're like, oh, he actually looks tall. I thought he was small. Like, I love basketball. I love soccer. I love volleyball. I love, sports a lot. I guess that's something that most people don't know. But I've been so engulfed in what I'm doing that it's been a crazy journey. But yeah, I guess that's something that a lot of people don't know.
Love it. Tell me a brag moment. What's something you're really proud of?
Sheesh. Probably getting 600 million views, and Facebook has been publishing like a list of the top posts in the United States, and I was number 5. One day I beat almost every media company, the president, almost literally everybody. I was number 5. So no, I think on that list there's never been someone that has no manager, no label, like no budget. So you know, that was pretty cool. And hanging out with Roseanne was kind of tight too. From television.
I love it. That's so great. Congratulations. Again, just speaks volumes of who you are. Tell me like a big fat failure, like something you're like, holy shit, why did I do that? Or if I had that to do all over again.
Yeah, I guess when I first started rapping, I had a lot of views and a lot of traction, and I lost my ad revenue because I was clicking on my own ads by mistake. I didn't fully know how it worked. I was young and they like banned me permanently. I started a new channel, but I went from basically like really crushing to like having nobody care about it. So it's like I went from being pretty well known to like 50 views, 100 views. And like I think the biggest mistake I made that I would tell myself when I was younger was do your own thing. I tried to capitulate to music labels, slow down my own movement to like please them and do what they did. And it was a mistake. And also when I was younger, I was more envious. I didn't have the self-awareness I have now and like the gratefulness. And that really screwed me over. That's why I can't stand the media tells people to be hateful, to be jealous, to want more. And it's the whole wrong mindset. And that really held me back because I was not appreciative for what I had. And sometimes they say you don't know what you have till it's gone. And I feel like I lost everything for a couple of years.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing that. All right, one final question to wrap us up. And the Wealthy Wealthy podcast is all about myth busting, really just bringing different points of view, new points of view. Really, my goal with this is just to create like aha moments, like, wow, I just never thought about something that way. And bringing those like you on the show to bust some status quo or to bust mindset. So is there, you're kind of a myth buster anyway, but is there one big fat myth that you would like to call out?
Yeah, I guess it would be that, the news is accurate or some form of like adult education. I think the media is far more twisted and far more wicked than a lot of people realize. And it's such a group effort to really control so much of the flow is that you see it in a few places and you really think, oh man, this must be true because it's like these are authoritative figures. But they're so twisted and they're so negative and they're really almost inverting a positive mindset, a spiritual mindset, a good way to think about the world and to think about events in order to be successful. I think the negative impact that they're having on our country and the world is so radically horrible. It's really controlling a lot of our problems. So I think that would be the big myth is that the news is education or the news is, true information. It's almost like a manifestation. Like they don't just report what's happening. They create the story that they want you to believe. And they have, it's like a magician. They have unlimited ways, unlimited angles, unlimited twists, unlimited creations. Now they could just say an anonymous source said that somebody else said that this said, it doesn't mean anything. You know, it means that's what they want to say. So I think if people realize that, we could heal this country a lot quicker.
Love that. Well, Anomaly, where can people find you if they're interested in your music and just interested in following your voice and what you have to say, your point of view?
Yeah, to search anywhere, it's Anomaly, but the O is a zero. So it's A, N as in Nancy, zero, the number zero, M as in Mary, A-L-Y. So Anomaly with a zero for the O. Instagram is Dream Rare. That's easier to spell, D-R-E-A-M-R-A-R-E. And I have a Facebook, a YouTube. So just in the last couple of days, I did a rant. I did a political video. I did a music video. And then I just did a comedy video about masks. It's pretty funny. I'm proud of myself. I don't usually do comedy. It's probably the first time in a while. But I was so annoyed at it that I was like, if I don't make a joke out of this, I'm just going to be ticked off. So I made like a funny, like the world's biggest mask fan. So check that out.
I love it. I haven't seen that one yet. So I'll check that up after we drop off. All right, Anomaly, you've been amazing. Thank you so much you're just a brave man and just a genuine spirit. I love that you really are about love and peace and truth and doing good work. It's not about sides. It's not about politics. It's just really about freedom. So I'm really grateful. I know you're a busy man. Take your time with us here today. I'm very grateful. So thank you.
No problem. Appreciate you. Thank you.
If you enjoyed today's show, there are a few things you can do as a way to say thanks. First, simply hit the subscribe button to the Wealthy Wealthy podcast. By doing so, it helps both of us. You'll never miss an episode, and it helps me and my ratings. Second, if you're so ambitious, please leave a review. Third, just keep doing what you're doing. Continue to share the Wealthy Wealthy podcast with your tribe so that we can all continue to grow together. On another note, although you likely listen to the podcast when remote, keep in mind that there are links to the guests and their work in the show notes that you can find at www.podcast.com. You can also find at www.podcast.com the latest information on my upcoming events and other things I'm creating to serve you in our mutual quest to live a wealthy, wealthy life. Thanks so much for listening. See you next time.